So take the paper that's near you. I want to read some scriptures, and then I want to make a couple of comments and see if we can do something in these few remaining moments that would be pleasing to the Lord. I want to say this before I read the scriptures, because there's no way that I'm going to jam all this down your throat, you know. Let me get one point across, and I think that Dustin and Angel and other things that have happened here this morning already remind me that not only do we have a very real enemy, but most people are not equipped to withstand him. So I want to give you one thing that always works. Now, the scriptures can expose the devil and his lies. And the Spirit can empower us to be more than we are, you know. And that's, I'm not going to minimize any of those things. But if there's one thing that you hear today, is to hear this. And Dustin and Angel, I really believe that it's a part of your life already, and I think it's going to be what is successful in helping young people. There is one thing that above all other things, that wins every time. And that is appealing to the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you see the cross behind me, and we've prettied it up. It used to be a pretty ugly cross, and it was actually from the Link building, and they gave it to us, brought it over here. I stripped it down, sanded it down to nice wood, and we refinished it, and we put pretty lights on it and stuff, you know, but just the cross is a reminder. And there's language in the scriptures about the power of the cross and the necessity of the cross. But I just want to point this out, that the cross was a means to an end. I could show you from history that there were, before Jesus crucified, tens of thousands of other Jewish and non-Jewish people crucified by the Romans. But it's not the crosses, and it wasn't those people. But the blood of Jesus Christ is innocent blood from outside of this world. And all of Adam's race is infected with the poison of the serpent all the way back to the garden. And so our blood, even though it's precious, and when it's shed protecting and or just in innocent murder or, you know, abortion, what, you know, blood is precious. But as precious as it is, no one's blood could save a man's soul except for the blood of Jesus. When Jesus talked about believing in him, it didn't start with him talking about his blood. It was about following him. But it comes right down to the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you hear nothing else, you can go. And let me just tell you, the Lord woke me up this morning, and he began to speak to my heart. And one of the things that he began to share, one of the things right from the very beginning, is that it's always darkest right before dawn. I feel like in this country, we're in that moment where it's the darkest. But I tell you, a dawn is coming. The Lord shared with me that Central Pennsylvania is going to experience a breakthrough. Cornerstone Fellowship is going to be a part of the breakthrough. People can't believe this, but even the country is going to experience a tremendous breakthrough. This is not the end. If this is not over, don't give up. Learn to appeal to the blood of Jesus. It conquers all. The blood of Jesus conquers everything. It'll break addictions. It'll break afflictions. It'll break lies. It'll break deceptions. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and restores and renews. But to talk about the blood of Jesus, there's a pathway in which I want you to look at these scriptures with me. In John chapter 1, verse 1, And it begins setting this notion, and it was mentioned here, Angel mentioned it, about darkness. It's light versus darkness. And we don't usually think that way. But when God conceived in his heart and spoke into the darkness of nothingness, the light was created. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Someone say amen. John 1, verse 6, "There is a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world." In John chapter 3, John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up," like that's on a cross, right? "That whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. I highlighted it for you. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Now, 1 John 1, verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." It should end all the debates. I know people are saying the God of the Old Testament and the God of the Scriptures and this and that and the other thing. Listen, let me just tell you something. If you see impurity in God, it is not a reflection of him. It's a reflection of your heart and my heart. The darkness we see about God is a reflection of the human heart that needs the light of God, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And then finally, a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth. and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seas, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. I just want to say this very quickly, that the devil is not ruling from hell. I'm guilty of the same thought. A lot of times we say it's like all hell has broke loose. Let me tell you something. Hell is not the corporate headquarters of Satan, Inc. It's his destination. It's his judgment. It's where he's heading. He knows the time is short, and he doesn't fight fair. So if you think you can be good enough, or you think you can be strong enough, or you think you can be wise enough, or you think you can be rich enough, or you think you can be smart enough, you are not capable of defeating him. You're not capable of protecting your families. But the blood of Jesus, when appealed to, stops the lies. It stops the deceits. And it stops all of the nonsense. And the blood of Jesus destroys sin.